Hi,
hello,
Reggie.
Sir.
Hi. Before you get started, we wanted to give you a little memoriam, a little shadow box, for you to always look upon and remember that what you started here was something special, something great, and something that has grown beyond, I think, what you imagined that it would. Where you're getting ready to move forward to and what you're getting ready to do started from a vision that you had for this place. And I want you to always look at it and always hold it in your heart and never forget that God called you for this path. Mm. And even when times get rough, just like the start of this thing was, he's still going to bless it and he's going to multiply it. We love you.
Thank you, Reggie. I'm supposed to preach now. Dang, on. I said Charity made this, so I don't know where Charity's at. Thank you, Charity. Thank you. Dang, on. I didn't bring tissues up. So we're talking about making your mark, and you can probably forget about my notes until I get to the scripture, Adam, because I'm just going to talk. Talking about making our mark, and this is the final in our series on hello, goodbye, because we've been talking about how we can say hello to new things and goodbye to old things, but this last one about making your mark is, thank you, is about a legacy and leaving a legacy behind while continuing on in the legacy that you've already created. The Apostle Paul, we see going around all over what was like kind of the known world at the time, making his mark. And to be clear, his mark was the mark of Jesus. As he went, he took three tours around the Mediterranean that we know of, possibly a fourth, planting churches all over wherever he went, leaving the mark of Christ wherever he went. And he started these things as a testament to what God had done in his life. And he left behind that mark on all the lives of the people that he encountered. And that's been our hope this entire time that we've been doing this thing, that we could leave a mark on the city of Newark, whether we were staying here or not. Like, I had no idea whether or not this would be our forever home when we started it 6 years ago in 2018. I didn't know. I didn't have that big of a vision far out. What would we do from here? My thought was, this could be a hub to plant churches all over. And we started one with Powerline, and we've been able to help other churches start things like Little Arrows and things like that. But we haven't quite been the tent-making congregation like Paul was, that wherever he went, he started a new congregation. But we're still only 6 years old, and we had a pandemic in the middle of it, you know? So, like, give ourselves some slack, you know? We're doing okay. Paul made his mark wherever he went. And so when I was considering what would be a final sermon for me to preach here at Engage Newark, what would that look like? Reggie got to preach a final sermon last week, and you knocked it out. That was like, can we praise God for Reggie? That was great. I've done a final sermon two other times. My first church I was in at Ailey United Methodist, clear back in 2007, I preached a final sermon there. I preached about going into the unknown. Abraham. And when Abraham was called, he was called to go to a land I will show you. Go to this place. You'll not know it until you get there. And that's when you'll get there and you'll know it. I'll show it to you. And so I was like, we're all going to a place we don't know. We moved to Newark. and then when I was at Marne, I'm not even sure what my final sermon was, because when I look back, I have 5 months worth of sermons that are gone. I thought I had all my sermons that I've ever preached, but 5 months are just missing for some reason. And then I actually interimed there for a little while in 2019, and I had 6 weeks of interim. I only got to do three before I got kicked out. So I don't. It wasn't even a final sermon. I didn't know I was preaching my final one, but that was it. So here we are now. This isn't really a final sermon. I'm going to preach to you guys if you show up next week at 1415 Londondale. I'll be preaching, but we will have a lot of different people in there. It'll look a lot different than it does now. Some of you will be sitting in pews. It'll be a lot brighter. If you've been over there yet, we've tried to show you pictures. Warning, it's traditional. We've done our best to make it not so traditional, but we got a lot more work to do. But today I want to talk about making your mark, because you guys have made a mark. If nothing else, you made one on me. For a church with no sign. We've never had a sign during the week out front. Have you ever noticed that? If you only come here on Sunday, you always see a sign, but we're a church with no sign. For a church with no sign, little old Engage Newark, people know about us. Also, a lot of people don't, because we don't have a sign. The good news is that the mark that you have left on our city is something we can build upon, because we're not just closing our doors. We're moving to a new location. We're not leaving town. We're just moving down the road so that we can build on the mark that you've already been made, that you've already made. So this morning I want to talk about Lydia. She's a woman in the Bible who made her mark. She was a disciple of Paul. Paul was one who went all over the world, the known world at the time. He was making his mark throughout the world, and he stopped in this town called Philippi, and he made his mark on a woman named Lydia. And she believed in Jesus because of him. So I want to read the story to you, and I'll explain some of it as I go. And then I just want us to sit and listen and tell the story and remember the story of Engage Newark and how we've made our mark. Here's Acts chapter 16. I'm starting in verse 11. From Troas, we put out to sea and sailed straight for Samothrace. Now, the person who's talking that says we here, it's the writer, the narrator. His name is Luke, and he followed Paul all around on these missionary journeys. He was kind of acting like a reporter, so to speak. And he says, and the next day we went to Neapolis. From there we traveled to Philippi, a Roman colony, and the leading city of that district of Macedonia, and we stayed there several days. So they land in Philippi. And later, Paul would write a letter back to this place called Philippians. All right, so if you ever heard of Philippians, this is how the church got started in that town. Verse 13, on the Sabbath, that would be Saturday for them, we went outside the city gate to the river where we expected to find a place of prayer. So Philippi probably did not have a synagogue, so there was probably not a whole lot of Jewish people there. So they were looking for where would the people gather? Where would we go if we wanted to find Jewish people already gathering, or people who are at least familiar enough with the Jewish faith to go pray, to gather together and pray? And so they went to the place where they expected to find people, down by the river. That's something important about that. Where we go to the place where we expect people to already be gathered. That was one thing we wanted to do when we decided that we wanted to come to downtown Newark. In 2014, I'll explain the vision here in a few minutes, but in 2014, there was plans to redo the entire cityscape, all right? It was kind of decrepit, kind of derelict at the time, and if you are new to the area, you don't remember this, but like, our sewers ran into the river, and the EPA said, no, not anymore. You need to dig up all your sanitary sewers, all your storm sewers. Everything needs to go to this proper location. And so they did the big dig. Do you remember the big dig in Newark? Okay. The whole city was upside down for 2 or 3 years. And we decided then we wanted to get in on it now, because this will be a place where people will gather. They weren't gathering quite yet then, but we knew they were coming. Downtown was developing, and we wanted to be part of that renaissance, to go where the people would be. It's one reason why, if you've ever been to the Play Cafe and you see the arcade has been under construction for 5 years, is we want to go where people are going to be. They're going to be there when they open, so we can create new relationships with them. We go where the people are already gathered. That's the idea. Go where the people are gathered. So the scripture says, we sat down, we began to speak to the women who had gathered there. One of those listening was a woman from the city of Thyatira named Lydia, a dealer in purple cloth. She was a worshiper of God, and the Lord opened her heart to respond to Paul's message. So Lydia was one of the people there at that gathering. That's pretty progressive to think about a woman who was a dealer in purple cloth, which was of high value. She had money. She had a business. She was very forward in her position in her city. And so this purple cloth was expensive. It was the good stuff. She had money. She had resources. She knew people, and people knew her. She was somebody you could go to get things done, and she could get things done for you. But even though she was wealthy and she was highly resourced, God opened her heart too. God opened her heart. And it says the Lord opened her heart to respond to Paul's message. Paul's message was making a mark on Lydia. And Paul went to where the people were already gathered, and he made a mark on the lives of the people there. And then look what happened. Verse 15, and she and the members of her household were baptized, and she invited us to come to her home. If you consider me a believer in the Lord, she said, come and stay at my house. And she persuaded us. 2 weeks ago when I last preached here, I was preaching about Levi getting called by Jesus. And the first thing he did was invite Jesus to a party at his house. Levi was a tax collector, and Jesus said, come follow me. The tax collector just stopped everything, and he come follow him. He's like, come to my house, and they threw a party with all his tax collecting friends. This time in the scripture, Lydia meets Jesus through Paul, and through Paul's explanation, through Paul's story, and she invites them to come to her house, not to have a party, but to stay. Come stay with us at my house. And it was her house. It was not her husband's house. It was her house. She wasn't the only one there. She had an entire household of people. She had probably people working for her. She had maybe some kids there, maybe children there. I don't know who all she had there, but her whole house got baptized. And look how quickly they considered her a full member of their Christian team, their discipling team. She said, if you consider me a believer, come and stay at my house. So they went. It says they persuaded us. They got the invitation. They got the invitation from someone they went to serve. The invitation was to serve them. That's one of the ways you can find out if people are accepting of you. Do they want to serve you as much as you've come to serve them? Paul made his mark on Lydia. Lydia immediately made a mark on Paul. There was an invitation to stay, to be a part of the fabric of the community, to continue to show love, to continue to make an impact. The invitation was given by an unexpected person, a wealthy woman of the city, someone who wanted to make an impact with her resources, but didn't quite know how. Come stay with me. Come be a part of this thing we're doing here. She made her mark on Paul. Paul made his mark on her. Paul made a mark on the city. That invitation, the way that rolled out for Paul from an unexpected person, is almost exactly how it happened for us, how we landed here. In 2014, I was given an invitation by Tom Atha to think about planting a church in this block of Church Street. In fact, he said, I'm thinking about buying a music venue downtown on Church Street. And I remember driving up and around looking for it. Like, where is this venue thing? Tom still runs a Earthwork recording studio on the next block south of here on the corner. So he was like, I want to bring in folks to be able to perform here, not just record them. And over the course of time, in January, that kind of started in 2013. In January 2014, he starts telling me about his girlfriend. They're married now. She had a 3-year-old son, and she was trying to study to be a nurse. And she said she would go to McDonald's to let Grayson play in the playland at McDonald's and while she studied. And he asked me this question that haunts me to this day. He says, can the church do better? Can the church do better than that for single women who are trying to raise their family? And I love that question. I think it's a question we should always reckon with, Compared to the options that the world provides, can the church do better? Can we do better than what the world does? So we dreamed of a space where children could play and parents could connect. And then 3 days after Tom gave me that question, I landed in the hospital with a blood clot in my left arm that put me out for about six months, but like lots of surgeries, I've told you all about that in the past. So that turned into rehab and all kinds of stuff I had trouble with. Once I finally got healthy, we started to develop a team of us from Martin United Methodist Church, where I was appointed at the time. We started making plans, started making business plans, thinking about markets and clients and using words we didn't know what they meant. And we developed this idea, a business model called the Play Cafe. Play Cafe is like Playland at the mall meets a coffee shop. And then it's just open for the week, and parents and kids can come and just play and connect and spend time together to help single moms navigate life and work and school, to bring them into the loving presence of people who love Jesus, to create a community with people from all walks of life that would eventually love Jesus. And we love this vision, and we knew we could make it work. We were very excited about it. And then it stopped. For like 2.5 years, we sat on it because nothing was happening in this space. I don't know. I don't even remember what all happened, but I can tell you after a while, I kind of gave up on it. We started doing on Final Fridays, you know, like once a month, Final Fridays, the square has stuff going on. And so we started doing Final Friday events. And even while we were like, we're coming soon. Like, you have that coming soon? Coming soon. And we had two whole summers of saying, coming soon. This time we're being honest with you. We're coming soon. Like, we just ran out of, like, we want to be here, but we can't. We would go up and down the arcade when it was open and just pray. We prayer walk the arcade because you could access the space from there. We'd lay hands on the doorknobs. God, be with the people who would enter through this door whose names we do not yet know. We pray that prayer. Every day I'd come in and pray that prayer, and others did too. So nothing happened for like 2 years. In the fall of 2016, somebody donated some money so that we could maybe start this Play Cafe. And I'm like, hey, I got to be honest with you. I don't know if this is going to be happening. I have no idea. I'll take the money. And we'll save it for the time when we need it. But I didn't know if it was going to happen for real. Well, then that fall or so, they started working, or summer, they started working in the space below us and up here too. I don't know what's on there. You keep going. And we started, we got permission to start scraping wallpaper. Look at that. This is what the little arrows used to look like downstairs. It was horrible. You could see all the way. After we tore out some walls, you could see up from Church Street to the arcade, and it was just a dirty, nasty, disgusting mess, and we scraped decades worth of wallpaper because nobody had ever scraped it before. They just laid wallpaper on top of wallpaper on top of wallpaper, and it came off in like bits like this. It just took forever. It's hilarious because now that they're working on the arcade, I see them scraping across the hall. I'm like, ha-ha. But those guys are wearing hard hats and hazmat suits and masks, and I'm like, that probably would have been a good idea, because I feel mesothelioma coming in my future. So everything was starting to happen. I don't have pictures up there, but we wrote scripture passages and prayers all over the floors down there before we put the flooring in. So we started working in it, and then everything stopped again because they ran out of money for our space, so they moved over to Moe's, and they started working on the Moe's barbecue area. And then it became on us. Like, okay, if we're going to open, we got to do this ourselves. So myself, that was a drywall day. Myself and Danya and Chuck Clevenger. None of those people are here today. How about that? They really worked hard early on those days when school let out. Mike Hagman came over. Diane Kozlowski and her kids came over. Just loads of work to be done. We had a soft opening in June of 2017 now. over 3 years from the time we got this vision. The full opening was in July. The idea was that we could create this kind of impact that could meet the real needs of real people in our community with a financial model that's self-sustaining for the business and affordable for the participants. And it worked. It worked really, really well. We had thousands of people come through in the first month and a half, 2 months. Like, we were floored by how much need this filled in the people's lives. In fact, we met most of our church staff from the Play Cafe. Michelle and Christina, I think she just left. Sarah Duff's not here today. They came from Little Arrows. And I want to give tribute to Danya because she's the real hero of Little Arrows. She made all of those relational connections, and she started doing mom's groups and Bible studies that would connect people with the love of Jesus. We worked with Newark Digital Academy to provide space for teen moms to get tutoring while they worked on their diploma and watched their kids. This was before online school was a real thing. Like, this was, you know, we're talking 2017, 18, 19, before the pandemic. We linked those teen moms with the baby pantry at Hebron New Life to give them necessary items for their babies. We hosted NA groups, parents' nights, parenting seminars, music classes, anything we could do to make an impact in the community and make relational connections. By December of 2017, we knew we were onto something, and we were making enough connections that we thought, this is the church is already happening. We've already got a church, but what we don't have is worship. And so then we started planning worship of what you see now of the church. This is just the Sunday expression of church, right? We have an all week long expression of church that goes on all the time. So this time we're starting to think about worship. So we started a new team for the church side of things. Most of the people who were on the planning and launching team of the Play Cafe migrated over to the church too. We decided on a name. We called it Engage Newark. And we wanted to take what we learned from the Play Cafe and engage the city of Newark with the love of Jesus. And so we did things like Love the 43055 campaign to like raise awareness that here we are, we're doing stuff. And so look how young my kids are. And Sarah's going to hate me for putting that up. Oh, I thought it was hilarious. We did all kinds of stuff. We took cookies, same stuff that we do now. We were doing a lot of that stuff then. But we were faced with street closures too. Would you believe the week that we opened Engage Newark Church, they closed our street for like 4 months right out there. The big dig came on our street. Of course. It would. Of course, not only can we not put up signs, we can't even walk to our building, and we can't park there. So that was all part of that, but I knew we could do worship because I've done worship my entire life. I can pull off a worship service, but I didn't want to be the one leading the singing. And so I started cold calling people who I thought would be good candidates for worship, and we would meet and have coffee. I'd show them the space, give them the vision. They're like, man, this is awesome, and then they'd ghost me. We're like, what, 3 weeks out, 3 or 4 weeks out, and I'm like, I guess I'm going to have to be the worship leader and the pastor too, and this is going to not be great. And then my mom goes, why didn't you ask Carrie Miller? I was like, well, because she was employed at another big church in town. And mom goes, but only on Saturdays. I was like, oh. So I called Carrie, and we had coffee. And she too liked the vision, and she too liked what we saw, and she did not ghost me. She said, I'll give you 12 weeks.
I said, I'll give you a month.
And then you said, I'll give you to the end of the summer. Yeah. That was in 2018. And she's no longer employed by that other church. Just saying. I'm so thankful for Carrie and Carrie, what you've done for us as a community and what you've done for me as a human being. I appreciate our friendship and our working relationship and how you keep me in line and you're the real pastor of the church. You just let me pretend. And so I thank you for that. Thank you, Carrie. I realize... I realize all those other people ghosted me or said no because God was leading us to the right person. And so we launched April 1st, 2018. We had quite a few ups and downs trying to figure out how to do stuff. Then we never had a preview service or anything. You're supposed to do preview service. We're going to do that Thursday night in the new building. We learned a lesson. We're going to figure that out. But ups and downs over there, that time, like, we sent a mission team to Haiti, but didn't go to Haiti because there was political unrest at the time. We went to do hurricane relief in Florida instead. 2019, later that year, we had Maurice Claret come in for a guest speaker. If you were around those days, Maurice Claret, the Ohio State Buckeye national champion. Heading into 2020, we had a series called 2020 Vision, and we set great intentions for the year. We're like, this is our year. Year two of church planning, that's when you either move or start new services. And honestly, we were ready. We were averaging about 115 in worship. It's pretty tight in a room like this. Children's ministry was bustling at the seams. We're going to think about a second service or a new location. That's all I could think of. I couldn't capture a vision for what's next for us as a community aside from that. On March 8th, well, we bought this live stream equipment. March 8th, we used it just to see, like, let's try live stream. It's something we can do. We figured out we couldn't do it. Like, we were terrible at it. It was like, that was March 8th, our first try, beta test. Guess what happened by March 15th? We didn't even meet. So we had a live stream. That's when everything went to pot for several months. So we started pre-recording everything. We celebrated our second birthday. Is it second birthday? Yeah, our second birthday, 2020, apart from each other. I started pre-recording. I'd go to on location. Like, I'm out by the Sea of Galilee, guys. That's just Buckeye Lake. For the Play Cafe, we had to shut down everything. We did our bring your own bubble thing. For $20, you could bring like 10 people that you felt comfortable with. And so we kind of met people that way. But we struggled through that season. And I'm going to tell you, I was discouraged. As what was signified or designated as a non-essential employee, I felt not essential. And I was like, well, I could go to Kroger and work. Like, it was a good run to engage Newark. Good job. We did it, you know, for as long as we could. But a pastor in town told me, we're more essential now than we've ever been. Get on the phone and start calling people and take care of your folks. We need you more now than we ever did. And I thought our finances would be shot because March 8th, we had something like $8,000 in our account. I'm like, well, we're toast. If everybody loses their jobs, giving's going to go down, and I can't justify taking a paycheck. By the end of the summer, we had like $35,000 in our account, and we'd been able to give away and help more people than we'd ever helped before. Attendance in the building for the next 2 years was a struggle, though. When we finally came back together in like late June of 2018, like we had 15 people, and that kind of just stayed that way for a long time. And we obviously didn't need two services, and we definitely didn't need to relocate, and we were kind of back to square one. And one of the great sorrows of that time was that Little Arrows wasn't quite what it used to be, but I was encouraged by its potential. And I always wanted to help other churches start things like Little Arrows where we can create impact and income for the church, solve real problems for real people, and be a vital program in cities, in towns, in neighborhoods, wherever that church is. But I didn't have a process. Our process was work your tail off. Pray really hard. Like, that's the two steps to starting any new business. But I met a guy named Ben Hardman who was starting Kingdom Dreams Initiative, and they help people like us start up ministries and businesses like Little Arrows, and they had a process. And so I went through their process, the 8-month incubator, and a couple months later I brought Reggie and Danya and Rodney and a couple other folks through it, and that's how we got Powerline. That's how we got the I Am Project. That's how we got Synergy off the ground. Each of those amazing ministries were launched in 2022, and they're still thriving today. And then I want to rewind, though, back in the fall of 2021, our children's ministry was starting to grow. Sage Space that we use now was opening up The yoga studio that was in there was moving out, had moved out already during the pandemic. And so we appealed to you all to see if we could raise the funding to take the lease over there. And you all graciously bought into the vision. And so we added that space as a multi-purpose use space for our availability. And just to be honest with you, the vision for that as children's ministry never panned out. It didn't work. It lacks bathrooms, it lacks water access, it lacks safety, it lacks access to be able to get in there because the arcade has been closed. You have to go clear out to the street and back around. It's just not safe to use. We've never used it for kids ministry. But it's been an amazing asset for us as a worshiping community. We host two NA groups there. They've been there for a couple years. We've had countless Bible studies, recovery meetings, paid parties, magic shows, yoga sessions, loads of ways to meet needs in the community for impact and create a flow of income to support the space. It's been basically self-sustaining. Last year, in 2023, we were humming on all cylinders. We started thinking again, what about a second service or relocating? What would it look like if we did two services, maybe one in Sage, or maybe we do two in here? What would that look like? Because we're starting to have a problem with parking, with children's ministry, with space in here. But with the cost of everything, we couldn't afford to go to another place in town. And so we decided to stay. We'll leave it alone. We'll be content with where God has placed us. Or at least that's what I asked our leadership to do, is be content with where God placed us, but yet I was still discontent. I actually visited Christian Endeavor Church in February of 2023. I went over there to see if we could rent space from them and cohabitate for a little while, but that didn't work out. And by August of last year, I reached out to our district superintendent. I said, we got to do something because we're going to lose momentum if we don't move. We need to do something sooner rather than later. And he said he'd get back with me, and he worked on things in the background and get back with me. In the meantime, we did lose momentum. We did. A lot of people left, and we no longer had the same spacing concerns that we had before. But then in January, we got word that something might be happening. And in March, another meeting again with the DS, myself being appointed to Christian Endeavor, and then the possibility of Church in the Mall moving with us along the way. Our leadership team extended an invitation to discuss merger, and you know what we've been doing since then. And that's the story of how we've left our mark in our community. And so we respond to another invitation. It all started with an invitation, can the church do better? And now there's a whole new group of people who are noticing what we are doing. And there's an invitation to come do it out of a new space. And an invitation of, can we come join you in what you're doing? The people are already gathering. We just need to go where the people are already gathered and show them the love of Jesus and see who responds. And you know what? We'll let them make a mark on us too. We can let them serve us too. And we just keep bringing an impact and making a mark wherever we go. Engage Newark, quite possibly the best thing that's ever happened to me in terms of my ministry, my career, and how my heart has been shaped by you. You have made your mark on me. I don't know if we will keep our name, but who we are, as we are right now, is going to be different starting today. And I couldn't be more proud, more grateful, and more honored that you've allowed me to be your pastor, as together we've made our mark on the city of Newark. And when I think about all the things we've been able to do, all the baptisms out at the river, I don't even know how many, 50, 60, I don't think we've had quite 100. But a lot of baptisms. All the Love the 4-3-0-5-5 events. All the small groups. All the times of worship together. All the ministries we've started. All the churches we've helped. All of the teams that have served and bonded together. Our tech team, you guys are second to none. I know they got airtime last week, but I need to name them. Mike has been showing up here at like 6:30, 7 o'clock every Sunday since 2018. Yeah. Thank you, Mike. First one here, last one to go. Bob started it when he was retired. Diana and Brian, Sarah. Sarah's not running. Sarah's called the boss. You guys don't know this, but she's the boss because she comes in here early every Sunday to help us set up tables and chairs. Our staff team with Carrie, Michelle, Christina, and Reggie, you guys have been a huge blessing. When I put all this together, I believe that you have honored the legacy of Lydia, and I know that you have left your mark, and you're going to keep leaving your mark, and you're going to keep leaving your mark, and you're going to keep leaving your mark, and it's not just here in this place, and it's just not in the next place. It's beyond there. We're going to play a song to close ourselves out. I'm going to, the band can come. I know there's some transition happening. After church today, we need help, and I know Gus and Michelle have gone to go. They're driving a trailer to help move church in the mall. So go as you need. But here's what I want us to do and remember. I'm going to come down. We're going to take communion together one last time. This is going to be a mess, all right? This is just going to be a mess. Lean into the mess. We have communion here, and this is the thing that we do to show that Jesus has made a mark on us, right? This is how Jesus has made a mark on us, by this sacrifice that we show in the form of bread and cup. But the next step after you take communion, I want you to come over here. Can you set this stuff up? There's four plates there. I want you to make your mark. And we're going to have like this paint. It's washable paint. Moms, dads, I want you to stick your hand in it and then go make your mark on the cross. And this will be the way we can leave a legacy and a memory of what God has done in us and through us. Come through here, take communion. That's the mark Jesus has on you. And then go make your mark. Now, we've got all the stuff to clean up. There's a trash can over there. We try to provide for all this stuff. Do your best with it. Chaos. Let it be chaos. Let's talk about communion for a second. I never lit these candles. Let's light them. On the night Jesus was betrayed, he spent some time with his disciples. They had what we call a Passover meal together. When the supper was over, he took the bread, he broke it, he said, "This is my body, which is broken for you. Every time you take of this, do it in remembrance of me." Likewise, he took the cup, and he said, "This is my blood, which is poured out for many. Anytime you take of this, do it in remembrance of me." And so, God, we give thanks to you for your Son, Jesus Christ, who made his mark on us so that we could make a mark on the people around us and make a mark on our city. God, we ask that you pour out your Holy Spirit upon these gifts of bread and cup, that they would be for us the body and blood of Jesus Christ, making its mark on us internally, nourishing our bodies so that spiritually we may be nourished in you. And may we use that strength that we have from you to make our mark on our city as we go beyond this space. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You do bread, I'll do cup. Everybody's going to come this way. So, the mess, everybody. I have no plan after this. Just come through this way.